In this week's episode, we are going to pick off where we left off and continue our ongoing series where we are looking at creation stories of different African cultures. In this week's episode, we are going to be looking at the Benin creation story. So if that sounds interesting, yeah, stick around. My name remains Funmi Lola, aka Funmi Pepe, the host with the most. Let's get this. Osanobua, the supreme being of the Benin people, one day decided to create life on earth. Prior to that, the earth was just filled with water, except at the middle where there was a single tree. And on that tree lived a bird called Onwonwon. To accomplish the task of creating the world, Osanobua asked his four sons to do it for him. And in return, he gave them the choice of picking whatever gift they want. The oldest son chose wealth, the next son chose wisdom, the third chose mysticism, and as the fourth was about to announce his choice, Onwonwon cried out to him to choose a snail shell. The fourth child reluctantly decided to trust Onwonwon, and he settled for it. His brothers mocked him for picking such a stupid gift, but Osanobua told him not to worry, that when they get to the middle of the water, he should turn the snail upside down and empty the content of it. The four sons set out on their mission, sailing on a canoe propelled by the power of Eziza, which is known as the wind. They finally got to the tree at the middle of the water-filled world, where Onwonwon lived. The youngest son brought out his snail shell and turned it upside down. Suddenly, there was a great explosion at the bottom of the water, which made sand gush out from beneath the water and fill up the space around them as far as their eyes could see. With this also came the introduction of the four creation elements: Amen, which is water; Eziza, which is air; Aran, which is fire; and Oto, which is sand or land. The four children did not know what to do next, as they were scared of the land, so they sent the chameleon to walk on it first. This is why, till today, the chameleon walks freely in the Benin kingdom. Now, because he was the only one that chose a physical gift, the youngest son was the only one that could step on land. He was able to shift to a physical body due to this choice. He stepped on land, and as so, he became the first human on earth. The fourth son is regarded as the ruler of the earth and also represents innocence in the Benin faith. And because his brothers remain as spirits and he exists in a physical state, he is susceptible to their powers. The youngest brother asked his other brothers to stay with him on land, but in order to do this, they had to make sacrifices. The oldest brother declined and instead chose to take his gift and live in what was left of the waters. He is regarded till today as Olokun, that is, the god of the waters. He controls the waters and represents things such as good health, long life, happiness, prosperity, you know, all that good stuff. The second and third brother accepted the invite, but they remained spirits as soon as they stepped on land. They remained spirits and are regarded as Ogiwu or Esu. They are tasked with using their powers to balance the forces of good and evil. After running up and down and about the newly formed land, the youngest son was very happy with what he saw, and he decided to call the land Agbon, meaning earth, and he named himself Idu, meaning the first human. He went on to explore this kingdom, the beautiful mountains, the rivers, birds of all kinds, the animals, insects, everything. This took a lot of energy and he eventually stopped at a tree stump and slept off. Osanobua came down with a chain from the heavenly paradise while Idu was asleep. He came to check how things were doing, to make sure everything was in place. Idu woke up to everywhere being bright and immediately knew that he was in the presence of Osanubwa. He quickly went down on his knees with his face towards the ground and said, "O great one, my father, I thank you for this wonderful gift you bestowed to me. I am very happy with everything, but I must say, I am very hungry. I haven't eaten since I got here, and I have no idea what to do for food." "Is that what troubles you, my son?" Osanubwa asked. "Yes, father," he replied. "Listen carefully," Osanubwa said. "Anytime you need food, stretch your hand above your head. The sky will come closer to your head in response. Pluck whatever you need from the sky, but do not take more than you need to satisfy your hunger at that moment." In excitement, Idu did as instructed and ate till his satisfaction. He thanked his father for the meal afterwards. "Is that all that troubles you, my son?" Osanubwa asked. "Now that you've mentioned it, father, I am also very lonely. I need companionship as my brothers are spirits and I cannot interact with them because of my physical form." Osanubwa laughed and then said, "My son, you are part spirit too. You can still interact with your brothers, although you would need to learn from experience how to harness wisdom, one of your brothers, which would then teach you how to combine your physical and spiritual energies to cultivate wealth and spiritual fulfillment, your other two spirit brothers." To shorten the process needed to acquire spiritual wisdom, Osanubwa strengthened the mystical energy with three new forces, Ogwega, Ominigbo, and Iha, which are meant to guide humans in differentiating between good and evil. Osanubwa told Idu to take sand from the ground with both palms and stretch his hands close together in front of him. As soon as Idu complied, Osanubwa pointed his staff and called forth a female person, and she immediately appeared in front of Idu. Immediately, she went on her knees and happily greeted Osanubwa, and then Idu, who in response hugged her in excitement.
"You're horny! You're way too horny!"
"This is a Tigoe, meaning a woman, and you are a Tibite, meaning an aeroplane." I'm just kidding. It means a man. "You both can live up to 500 years each. I bind both of you together. Go forth and multiply," Osanubwa said. "What if we encounter other problems and need your help? What shall we then do?" Idu asked politely as Osanubwa was about to leave. "Whenever you wish, you can come see me. Just climb the Alubode Hill. Your individual spirit self, called Ehi, whose double is permanently with me in paradise, allows you to do this," Osanubwa replied. Osanubwa left, and then Idu and his wife went to work, and not long after, babies were made. Years went by, and humans now filled the earth, with families settling down in all directions. Several communities were springing up, and they spoke slight variations of Idu language, but they all believed that they were descendants of Papa Idu. Everything was kumbaya for thousands of years, until one day, a woman named Imose, who happened to be pregnant at the time, broke the one rule they had and took more food from the sky than she needed.
"What the fuck out do, you, what of do you mean? How? How have you... Oh, man. What, you're just
with a great
it.
Explosion, the sky started moving away, far into the heavens, away from the reach of humans. And because of this, humans lost the direct link to Osanubwa, as they couldn't freely walk into the paradise anymore. The reign of innocence was over as a result of Emose's greed. Suffering and pain was introduced to the world now. Humans had to toil the land for food, as it was no longer automatic. Two new forces were also introduced. Uwu, harbinger of death, and Ogiwu, who represented mourning mourning, evil omen, and diseases. These two spirits caused all sorts of havoc among humans. Humans no longer lived for 500 years at a stretch because these spirits killed anyone at any time. Alongside these spirits, two additional spirits were also introduced, Esun and Idodo. These spirits now act as challenges that humans must conquer before they can return to the paradise. Esun is tasked with taking genuine human pleas before Osanoboa. These pleas must be performed in the purity of the heart. Idodo is tasked with making sure that natural and divine laws are followed, and also that humans repent and atone for our sins. Now, this part gets a bit complicated. There are three things you need to know to fully understand it. Number one, the Benin people believe that there are two aspects to a human life. The first being the Ehi, which is our spirit form, and the second being Okpa, which is our physical form. Now, the second thing you need to know is that to balance out these forces, that is the four forces I mentioned earlier, which are Uwu, Ogiwu, Esun, and Idodo, humans must make use of our individual spirit form called Ehi. We use Ehi to convince Idodo to control Uwu and Ogiwu, and also to get Esun to take our pleas before Osanoboa. Now, the only time this can happen is right before one's birth, because that's the time when the Benin people believe that we are still at that state of innocence. Don't worry, if that sounded complicated, I'll explain further. The third thing you need to know is that the Benin people believe that each person can return to the earth 7 times. So yeah, it's basically reincarnation. They believe in reincarnation. Now that we've gotten all this out of the way, let me explain how it all comes together. So now, the way it works is that right before one's birth, our Ehi convinces Idodo, based on our actions in our previous lives, to allow our pleas be taken by Esun. Esun takes our pleas and our spirit form before Osanoboa. When in the presence of Osanoboa, our Ehi makes requests that Osanoboa would grant. This request and whatever is granted by Osanoboa is only known by our Ehi. Half of this Ehi stays with Osanoboa, and the other half comes back and then influences our Okpa, which is our physical form, based off of this request. This half that comes back is what allows us to communicate with Osanoboa indirectly while on Earth. The half that comes back is called our Orion. But remember that our Okpa is subject to the forces of this world, and we can go astray from the original plan that our Ehi has for us. So basically, this is why we can come back to the earth and repeat this process over and over until we are able to atone for all our sins, and after which we'd be allowed to stay in the paradise. Yeah. The end. So, yeah, guys, that's the story. We've come to the end of the Benin creation story / origin story. I feel like this one is a bit, it gets a bit too, like, complicated at the end. So you might want to take your time when listening to that one. You should check out the other episode in this series, that is the Yoruba creation story and the Igbo creation story. If you listened up to this point, I mean, MVP, you are the MVP. Thank you guys once again for all the support. Remember to like or follow or give this podcast a 5-star. I don't know. All that good stuff. Do it now. Like, I keep saying this every episode and nothing changes. You guys don't rate. The followership doesn't increase. The subscribership, blah, blah, blah. Nothing increases. So, yeah, do it now. Now. Also, follow us on Twitter at MafejokwamiPod. That's where you can come and get a more direct interaction with me. For me, you know, that's why I always give, you know, all the all the juicy stuff. What else? You know what, Smurfy Joke Mami, I think that is enough. That is enough for today. I'm sending love, peace, happiness your way. Remember to send money my way. Stay jiggy, drink water, mind your business. But most importantly, Joe, Smurfy Joke Mami.